Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to me telling you that this week's episode of Do Go On is brought to you by, just in case you skipped the ad bit at the start, our comedy festival show right here in Melbourne. We are doing 4 live podcasts and they are on sale now, Saturday afternoons, 2 o'clock at the European Beer Cafe, all throughout the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. You can buy a ticket to 1 show, to 2 shows, 3 shows, or you can get a season pass and come to all 4 shows for the price of 3.
It's a bajan.
Oh, it's so bajaning. Tickets are available now on our website, or you can just click the link in the description of this episode, where we'll also have links to Matt's stand-up comedy festival show. That sounds weird. Monkey House at the Victoria Hotel and Jess's stand-up comedy festival show. Nearly. Is that right?
No.
What's it called again?
Almost.
Almost. I mean, I nearly got it right. And that is on at the Greek Centre. Check it out. We'd love to see you there. It's the best time of year in Melbourne. And this ad has been 100% rehearsed. See you soon.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke and I'm here, as always, with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Jess.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Matt.
Great to be here again.
Sorry, we're fighting again.
Who? Did I do something?
Was it me?
Matt and I are fighting.
Oh, right. Sorry.
We're not talking
to
each other.
Tell Matt that you're fighting with him.
No, you're the... I'm the one fighting with him. You tell Matt I'm
fighting with
him. You're
fighting
with
me?
Dave.
Jess?
God, that would be so tedious for a full episode.
Oh, my God. Tell Matt my very funny joke I just made. He's pretending he can't hear it.
Make Matt laugh at that.
It's great to be back in the studio. This is our first episode that we've recorded after our Christmas break.
Yeah.
We haven't seen each other in 3 weeks. And when I saw Jess, I said, is this the longest time we haven't seen each other in the last 4 years? I feel like it might be.
I think it might be. Is that sad?
Close.
Probably. Has it been 3 weeks? I don't even realize it's been that long. It's good to see you again.
So.
No, that
probably.
Is true. Before Christmas, I've been away. Yeah. I've been in Tasmania.
Yeah.
For about 3 weeks.
So it's weird. Weird that it's been that long.
That's right. Yeah. We all went out and saw a bit of Australia.
Yeah.
I went north.
I went south.
I went not as far north.
Yeah.
You know, all 4 corners of the globe.
So arguably, I was way better because I went a bit further.
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
So there's that.
Yeah. It's absolutely true.
Just saying.
But I had to cross water.
You did.
So I'm the better one.
I think I did tell you. We arrived in Byron Bay on New Year's Eve. Byron Bay, a very popular place all year round, really, particularly New Year's Eve, as Falls Festival is happening there at the time. And we got there to realise that our accommodation had been booked for the 31st of January.
And who booked that?
Not me.
Okay.
No, all the ones I booked were... which was every other place we stayed on the trip.
That's lucky.
Were correctly booked.
You just give him a little bit of responsibility to make him feel good.
So did you just book that one?
Are you going to go up for January?
Look, if we weren't going to get a refund, I was like, well, we're going back. But we found literally the last Airbnb available, and it was little shack. It called itself Shabby Chic. It was just shabby.
Yeah.
In a caravan park.
Oh, that's
and there
great.
Were cockroaches.
Oh, that's living.
And the floor was dirty. If so it was a holiday.
If you want to get the New South Wales experience, you've got to have cockroaches.
You simply must.
Yeah, they're huge up there.
Yeah.
They are. They're massive.
Aren't they known as the cockroaches, maybe? One of their sporting teams or something, the cockroaches? I think maybe they're is there a rugby team?
I would hate to play for the cockroaches.
I might be making that up. Maybe that's what Queenslanders call them. They have a real rivalry, Queensland and New South Wales.
Yeah.
Feels weird being down here and not really hating anyone.
We're like the third sibling.
We are. Hey, guys,
what's
fight
up?
With us.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Be pissed off at us. Oh, okay. Don't worry about it. Let us know if you need anything. We're pathetic.
We are pathetic. We need to grow up.
We need to read a book.
Yes. No, I think we should have a three-way with Queensland and New South Wales and really get something going.
Okay.
Really?
Mm.
All right.
Anyway, good to be back from our holidays.
It is good to be back from our holidays.
I'm off to a flying start.
We are. Very much so. So this show works, Jess, if that's what you're about to ask
me. Yes.
One of the three of us researches a topic, often suggested by a listener, and we research that topic with all we've got. Mm-hmm. Then we bring in the report that we've come up with.
With all we've got. We bring it in with all we've got.
Yeah, we drag it in.
My God, we're on the second floor here.
Honestly, it's exhausting.
We're like that guy, Abacus or whatever, who pushed a rock up a hill. Someone correct me. What's the guy's name? It's not Abacus.
Abacus.
Abacus Finch.
Don't at me. And so we.
I love To Kill a Rocking Chair. I love it.
Oh, that's
a classic.
So one of us has a report done. This week it's me. And then we tell that report to the other two while they normally annoyingly interject. According to listeners.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you mean.
And we get onto the topic with a question. This week, I'm asking the question because it's my topic. And the question is very self-indulgent.
Oh, no.
Which band have I seen live more than any other?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What's the name of that cover band? at like the Maribyrnong Hotel or some shithole.
At Adam 13 or something like that. Taco?
I knew you'd reference Taco.
Taco. I actually would have seen Taco quite a few times back in the day at the Edgy and other such places. The Sandy.
Oh, I couldn't think of any of your actual haunts.
Maribyrnong.
But your one was the Knot, wasn't it, Jess?
Yeah.
Okay. No offense, Maribyrnong, but you know what you did. And most live act, we've already done TISM, but you couldn't have seen them that many times.
I saw them four times, TISM. I reckon I've seen this band be pushing up to 15, something like
that. Wow. Okay, are they Aussie?
Yes.
Okay. My mind is going completely blank.
Oh, I was just listening to you on Josh Earle's podcast a few months ago with Tim Rogers from UMI.
It's not UMI.
Oh.
Great band. Seen them. I would have seen them a good half dozen times. This band.
Is it Nick Cave?
It's not Nick Cave.
Can we have a letter?
F.
Frenzel Rom?
It is Frenzel Rom.
Yes!
Frenzel Rom. 15 times.
I reckon, yeah.
Amazing.
Including festivals. They were at the first festival I went to in 1998 at the music bowl called Pushover, and it was sick.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great. I think I've seen them twice.
Put on a good show?
Oh, so fun. The first time was at another sort of like all ages festival at Luna Park.
Oh, yes. I reckon that might have been another one of the pushovers or push on, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it might have been a pushover, I think, actually. Yeah, it was about 2004 or 5, maybe. Yeah, I was pretty young.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, great band, very fun. But I don't know too much about the history of them, to be honest.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm about to tell you about that. It just reminded me of, I'm going through my brain all the times I've seen them. One of the times I saw them was after the Saints lost the 2010 grand final.
Oh.
So they booked the weekend after the grand final, but because it was a draw, they had to replay the game. And I bought a ticket to it thinking, oh, it's the week after grand final. Yeah, so it was such a weird show where I'm real sad. But they put on a good show, I remember, all the same. They cheered me up quite a bit. And the venue's at the corner in Richmond, so
oh,
I walked from the MCG to the ground amongst all these celebrating
fans. Were you still wearing
fans.
Your jersey?
Oh.
Well, I don't think I would have been wearing a hat and a scarf or something, probably.
Oh, that sucks.
Probably face painted.
Yeah, so dejected. Like, all right, let's go see friends.
Probably
all
holding like red, white, black balloons.
You're wearing like
waving a flag.
The red and white drift off, but you just left with the black. Yeah.
You're covering up your premiership tattoo.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing. I already changed the date from last week. Now we didn't even win.
So this topic was suggested by Michael Nados, who wrote in the suggestion hat, "A long and interesting career, my favourite Australian band."
Oh, great.
Anyway, let's get into the topic, Friends of Rom. They were formed in Newtown in Sydney in 1992 by singer Jason Wally and bass player Alexis Feltham, who were childhood friends. At the time of their formation, Jay was the son of academics, still is, I suppose, was studying philosophy at Sydney University. And the band formed to enter a university battle of the bands. And there was no plans to keep the band going after that. It was just like, we'll bring it together for a one-off battle of the bands and then it'll move on with their lives.
Oh, that's fun.
The band was named after Jay's pet rat, who was in turn named after French physicist Augustin Jean Fresnel's invention, the Fresnel ROM. According to Merriam-Webster, a Fresnel ROM is a rhombic prism of glass used to transform plain polarized light into circularly polarized or elliptically polarized light.
Yep, Yeah, that makes sense. I knew where I knew that from. Yeah. So elliptics are very positive light.
Yeah, light beams and
I think I read it's used in lighthouses and stuff, maybe. I'm not sure.
But I mean, it sounds fascinating. And if you know anything about it, I'm sure it's really interesting. But I didn't understand 90% of those words. For I have an arts degree.
Yes.
You know?
Well, which is what Jay was doing as well, majoring in philosophy. Mm. Jay remembers the influences that got him into the idea of starting a punk band, saying, "The punk music really started appealing to me by listening to Australian punk bands like the Meanies, the Hard-Ons, and Nursery Crimes. They were also doing all-ages shows way before all-ages was a popular thing to do." For the Battle of the Bands, the lineup was rounded out by guitarist Ben Costello and drummer Bruce Braybrook, and they ended up coming second in the Battle of the Bands. And this modest success led to the band continuing on and eventually to singer Jay dropping out of uni.
Oh, wow.
Original.
I mean, you only came second, mate.
Nah, we're on the highway to success.
Yeah, punk. Australian punk. This is going to pay the bills.
Well, probably more than philosophy,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, to be fair. Take that, philosopher. Yeah. They're not listening to us.
Original drummer Bruce, I bet they are. Please email dogoonpod@gmail.com and tell Jess, philosophers love podcasting too.
Mm, I want that email, yes.
Original drummer Bruce made way for Carl Persky, and in 1994 they released their first CD, an EP called Dick Sandwich.
He was like, quit my job and I'm going to hit the big time with this.
Well, he recalls telling his parents about the change in direction, quote, "I told my father I was going to be dropping out of university, going on the dole and starting a punk band with our first EP called Dick Sandwich. I showed him the cover of it with the character on the front eating a sandwich full of severed penises. You'd never seen a more disappointed human in all your life." Broke his dad's heart. The band were told by Link from the Meanies that it would be crazy to pay more than $500 to record an album. But according to Jay, they spent
$1,200
recording Dick Sandwich, and it, quote, "sounds much worse than any Meanies $500 record."
Just to clarify there too, $1,200 is more than $500.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it sounds worse.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I did some maths.
Yeah.
Just wanted to... Just not point out to everyone that I can do it.
I can blast light through a prism if I want to.
Yeah, I can do an optical thing and dig and dig.
It's a euphemism, is it?
I can blast some light.
Can I blast light through your prism? Sorry, absolutely not.
I bid you farewell.
I just mean, can I use your John?
Yeah. Can I blast light through your prism? Your porcelain prison.
Sounds like you're saying prison. Which in a way, a porcelain prison is a toilet. They should make prisons out of porcelain. Nah, that's probably a bad idea.
What?
You can break it, right?
Yeah, but...
I'd look nice.
Do you get covered in shit if you do it?
I'd look nice.
That's a problem in prisons. Don't look nice.
Yeah, prisons are all very ugly.
Yeah, make them nicer.
Make it pretty.
Hey, you make it more attractive.
Put a rug down or something, you know? Zhuzh it up. Add a throw cushion. Bit of wall art.
Make it a place where you'd like to go and live.
Hang it out of porcelain if you want. I don't mind.
The album has been the EP at least has been derided by the band and others for sounding like it was recorded under a doona.
Because it was.
But despite this, the independent release sold out its run of a few thousand copies and is now somewhat of a collector's item. Which I'm an owner of.
You've got one?
Cool. Little retirement fund.
Yep. Where did you pick up your copy?
JB Hi-Fi.
Wow, it's pretty hard to get.
Yeah, I think it was just the only one there. And
as a fan,
I wonder if that was a re-release or what, because I wasn't into them when they kicked off. I didn't get into them until later in the 90s.
As a fan, listening back to it compared to their other stuff, is the quality bad?
It's different in a few different ways. I mean, compared to the band now, Jay's the only member who's still around, the singer. And they used to do a lot more slap bass in the earlier days. But also it does, the
sound. Not everyone can do that. So,
well, that's the cool thing about as the bass, there's been a couple of replacement bass players since, and they've been sick at playing all the different styles of bass, which I always find impressive. Seeing them live with a newer bass player, they play an old song and they're pulling out all the slap stuff.
Just punk music with the Seinfeld theme mixed in. What's the deal with telling your parents to go fuck themselves?
Speaking of TV themes, that first EP did have their version of the Home and Away theme.
I actually think I have heard that. I didn't realise that was from that.
That's awesome.
When they released the EP, national youth radio station Triple J, Jess's employer, told the band to, quote, grow up.
That sounds like something we'd say.
Jess, have you ever told any new young up-and-comers to grow up?
Yeah. So we have Triple J Unearthed, which is a whole other station now as well, and people starting out upload their music there and people can jump on and review it, and us presenters review a lot of stuff too. That really helps out young up-and-comers, and all of my reviews just say, grow up! I give everyone half a star and I say, grow up!
Grow up, read a book!
What's the lowest star rating you've ever given?
Oh, 4. I'm very kind.
I thought you might be very
I don't
nice.
Want to give everybody... they're all trying their best.
That's the thing.
If I really don't like something, I won't review it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I'll just review stuff I like. Because it gives everyone a little... Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's right. Not as good as the Seinfeld theme.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That'll be my next one.
But that, I think... Because it sounded like you were diminishing the nice words you were saying for any of them listening. But then... You went on a sort of change there because you're like, if I haven't reviewed you, I probably hated it.
I can't possibly listen to everything.
You've listened to everything.
I've listened to everything and I've written 10 reviews. So grow up!
In October that year, 1992, they released a three-track... Hang on, 1994, sorry. They released a three-track single called Sorry About the Ruse on their label, which they called How Much Did I Fucking Pay for This Records? And this included a cover of Depeche Mode's Just Can't Get Enough, which they changed the lyrics from Just Can't Get Enough to How Can I Fuck the System When I Just Can't Get It Up? So it's political.
Yeah. That's good.
Which I like about it.
It makes you think. Yes. Makes you chuckle.
Yeah.
And then it makes you think.
Yeah.
And then it makes you grow up. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. They took Triple J's advice and they've grown up very quickly within
a few
months. And once again,
on behalf of Triple J, you're welcome.
I remember when I think that was maybe released as a final initially, maybe, but when I saw them in 98 at that Pushover Festival, I remember them just flinging cardboard CD copies of it into the crowd. And I got another one of those, also funding my retirement. Perhaps naively, the band sent a letter to Depeche Mode's publishing company asking, would you mind if we use this song and change the lyrics? And according to Jay, the singer, they sent back a very firm no, you cannot. You do not have permission. And that's when we realized, oh, wow, we should just have never asked.
Yeah.
And then we went and did it anyway. The back cover of the CD is the rejection letter printed out. it's actually a fax.
A rejection fax.
A rejection fax.
Somehow.
The most brutal fax.
Yeah.
The most brutal form of rejection
Big
comes
time.
In a fax, for sure.
Because it sort of prints out slowly. Yeah. And you're like, oh.
man of a thousand noises. Stop again.
That's a fax.
Dear friends of Rome, stop. Please stop. Stop. Stop.
Yeah, you're right. Rejection telegram would be worse. Rejection carrier pigeon, because then you have to look that pigeon in the eyes, and it knows.
And it can't look you in the eyes. No. Looking at its feet.
It's like, oh, I'm all sad.
Oh, I can't. I'm so sorry. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think you're great, but don't shoot the messenger.
That's good stuff. In the early 90s, the Californian punk scene was exploding, and that sort of skate punk scene, which I think, Dave, you're into that a bit as well, a bit later on.
Yeah, love all that stuff. Yeah, NoFX, et cetera.
Jess, you ever get into that kind of stuff?
No, I'm very wholesome.
This is wholesome
At
stuff.
At 13, I was very into Delta Goodrum.
Oh, that is wholesome.
That is very wholesome.
She was born to try.
Yeah.
Aren't we? She learned to love. You know?
She had a very, very big album.
Yeah, I can't stand her now, but...
Was it Born to Try?
Yeah.
Was it Learn to Love?
I think it was this... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's the OC
thing.
Think
I'm lost in my reflection. Oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't really ring a bell. Down at the start while you're doing the OC thing.
Right, I mean, the other great song of 2003.
So that Californian punk scene was exploding. Australia was one of the biggest scenes for it outside of America that really got into it, especially the American bands and also had a bunch of our own. So it meant Frenzel was able to support a bunch of touring bands, including Bad Religion, The Offspring, Pennywise, and Blink-182.
Damn.
In 1990, who was the first concert I ever went to was Blink-182.
Really?
Supported by Body Jar and Unwritten Law and Caustic Soda.
That's cool.
I remember...
Taco?
Taco was there. I probably saw Taco the night before. But I remember I don't think I really got how I was meant to go. So I got there and Caustic Soda, the opening act, were playing. It was an all ages show. I would have been 14. So he just went real hard and everyone was going hard. I remember the band were like, wow, this is great. We played the overages show last night and everyone was too cool. So thanks so much for getting into it. We love the kids. And I was fucking knackered by the time Blink came on.
You just pooped yourself.
Blink are like, what the fuck's wrong with these kids?
You're all having a nap.
They also probably were like clearly the worst band on the... Like I like them.
Great band, but they're as a live act. They're
sort of pretty clumsy.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think they got better, but this was, you know, it was pretty early in there. Career. In 1995, the band released their first LP, Coughing Up a Storm, on Shock Records in Australia. Around this time, they supported one of Dave's favourite bands, NoFX, whose band leader, Fat Mike, also had a burgeoning record label, Dave, named...
Fat Records. Fat Rec Records, sorry.
And Fat Mike really liked Frenzel, and he put out one of the tracks off the album as a single... as a 7-inch single in America, 4 Litres, which is a song about goon. Australian boxed wine. That's why it's called 4 Litres. They sort of just go through a bunch of different kinds of goon. So it's fun.
Alexia makes you sexier.
So they were also featured on the Fat Records compilation, Survival of the Fattest, which opened up more doors for the band. This is a quote from Jay. I guess the Fat Records thing helps us wherever we go. Their compilations they put out sell way more records than any of the bands on them. So everywhere we go, the kids know at least 2 songs. Which is, I guess it shows how like important something like that is.
Open with one and close the with the other.
Mm.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people go to the show. Well, the shows I go to, everyone's singing every word to every song. And they play.
Oh, now, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess early days and going to America and that sort of stuff. I read somewhere a more modern quote from Jay saying, someone asked him about how they go touring in America, and he's like, it's fun, but it can be hard. And as he's getting older, it's harder to do because they've got quite a few listeners over there, but they're spread out in all these little towns. He's like, if we could just get a few them to come to one big central show, it'd be sick. It'd be huge.
Mm.
But we've got to go around and play all these little shows instead, and it can be pretty draining to do 40 dates of small shows over and over. Oof. At his age, he's in his 40s now. Can you even imagine?
No.
As you get so close to your 30s. Are you your 30 yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Close.
It's over 6 months, baby.
Shut up. It's fine. It's okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's beginning of the end. It's all good.
It's the beginning of the end.
It's also the start of the beginning.
30 is the new 14, so...
Well, I don't want to be 14 again.
Yeah,
well, that's a shame, isn't it? Because you're about to be.
Oh, no, I had my braces off by the time I was 14. So, yeah.
Wow, right. Pretty young.
Early
to get
on. I had them on at 11.
Okay, you had a shocker.
Yeah, they were real bad. Anyway, they took an X-ray of my hand before doing my braces because that tells them how much more growing I had to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because if you have braces too early and then you keep growing, it can just mean that they move more than they...
Oh, right.
Are you sure they didn't think you were a dog and seeing if you had a big paw?
Who's this big boy? Oh, it's a little girl.
Come here, Jess. Come here. Let me see your teeth.
Did you go to a vet dentist?
Yeah. It was cheaper.
They said, just get it a gnaw on this. Fix it right up.
Yeah, have one of these denta bones.
Anyway, yeah, I'd go back to 14 because I don't have to deal with braces.
Great.
And I'd go back to the vet in a heartbeat because they were very nice. And that gave me a treat.
Schmacko. After coughing up a storm, the drummer Carl left the band. I'm not sure exactly what the story was, but the secret tracks at the end of the album include some semi-threatening voice messages left for the band by him. So it seems like it wasn't on good terms.
How do you be semi-threatening?
I love that. I actually never even put together.
I'm probably going to kill you.
I listened to that album a lot when I was younger, and it's sort of a bit passive aggressive. I'd have to listen to it again, but I remember towards the end he's like, call me back, though you probably won't. Something like that. It's kind of like, oh, man, that's possibly sad without knowing the story. I like to think that he did something bad. And they weren't just being mean.
Yeah.
Semi-threatening. Please return my call.
All right, mate. Okay.
That's it. Restraining order.
Yeah, we're going to take this to the police.
Please call me back. I left my drumsticks in your car.
I'd have to listen to it. I'm pretty sure they were like it was on a roller coaster. Some of it was like, that's it. You know, if I ever get a hold of you. But then I think I'd have to. I'm going on a vague memory.
Just RSVP to my wedding, please.
It's very expensive per head.
I just need to know. Please. All right, call me.
So they've gone through two drummers pretty quickly. Their follow-up album, Not So Tough Now, included the band's third drummer, Nat Nykriv. I've realised I've never said that out loud. It's a tricky one.
No, I don't know.
N-Y-K-Y-R-U-J. And the album was another step forward in production values with producer Tony Cohen at the helm. Cohen had already produced a bunch of other big-name Aussie acts by that stage, including Do Go On favourites like Paul Kelly, Nick Cave and Tism. And the album was the band's first to make the ARIA charts, peaking at number 53, and included the single Punch in the Face, which was the band's biggest hit up to that point. The album was also released in the US and Japan, and the band toured in support of it, building up a solid following in both those places. The secret track on the album had lyrics referencing guitarist Ben Costello. Here they are in full. Get the beeper ready. To see what he has done, what has he done? Nothing at all. Ben is a fuckwit. He's a cunt. Ben's a cunt. Ben is a fucking silly cunt. Ben's a fucking stupid cunt. Ben is a fuckwit. Cunt. Ben is a cunt. Ben is a fuckwit. Fuckwit. After the album's release, Ben left the band. According to their website at the time, he mysteriously disappeared. Many rumours have circulated about his disappearance, but no one really knows where he is. That's the official word.
Right.
But I think he actually just left due to pursuing animal activism and going to study at university. And I think it was all on good terms. It was all just a bit of a joke.
So that song wasn't actually...
No, I think it was he was playing guitar on it. I think it was just all in a bit of fun, but it was...
He's playing guitar, bopping along while they're calling him a
cunt. We'll come in and do the lyrics after. You just play the riff.
This is great, guys.
Yeah, I love it.
When are we doing the lyrics? We'll let you know. We'll let you know.
Yeah, you can clock off.
Do you know what? You've done so well today. Why don't you have the afternoon off? Go just get outside. Do some activism. You love activism.
You love activism. Do it. Do it full time.
Leave. Leave and never come back.
His replacement was 18-year-old Lindsay McDougall, a.k.a. the Doctor. Apparently, the young doctor didn't tell his mum that he was leaving to tour with the band, and when he returned, he found that his key no longer opened the front door.
Oh, mum.
Mum changed the locks?
Yeah, so this story is referenced on their 1997 album Meet the Family, which included the single Mum Changed the Locks, which is a bit of a hit.
Mum.
What?
I'm pretty sure Jay gave him the nickname the Doctor as well. I couldn't find that when researching. It doesn't seem to be on the internet, not in a way that I could find it. But I remember hearing the story at some point that Jay said, we're not going to have a band member named Lindsay McDougall. Your name is now Dr. Lindemans. What a weird way to get a nickname.
I can just call him McDougall or something.
McDougall's great.
Or Lindsay, it's his name.
Yeah. Anyway, he still goes by it. He doesn't have to anymore.
No, but he does.
This was around the time I started getting into the band, when this album came out. It was the first one. I borrowed it off a friend. You know, I don't know, $30, whatever they used to cost. And I remember having an assignment where we had to write an animal-related poem for English class. And I handed in the lyrics to their song, Guns Don't Kill Ducklings, Ducklings Kill Ducklings.
Do you remember that song? Yeah.
The teacher was pretty baffled by it. But, you know, it's a poetry. So what do you do? He's like, it looks like he's written something there. I don't get it.
I've put in the effort.
I've written a bunch of words.
Sorry, I'm making a point that you don't understand, lady.
Did you listen to Friends or Much when you were younger?
Yes, probably had a couple of their albums.
Was this one of them or
later?
Yeah,
that's one of them. Yeah. I had that one and...
Well, I'm going to go through
them.
You'll know when you hear them probably. The one before that, Not So Tough Now, was the one with a McDonald's that had been...
I remember seeing that, yeah. Did they get in trouble for that album cover?
I don't think there was a lot of trouble for it, but it's sort of like, why would you?
They have been in trouble over the years, though, for their album covers. Are you going to talk about that? Is there one of their albums?
Well, I've talked about the album that had a dick sandwich on it.
Yeah, and the rejection letter on the back.
They were banned from, Dick Sandwich was banned from some stores. So I think there's little things, bits and pieces like that. But yeah, let us know when you, because I don't know if I remember anything in particular that was worse than that, than just being banned from some stores or whatever. Mm. After the release of the album, the drummer Nat left, being replaced by their fourth drummer in 6 years, Mindsnare drummer Gordy Foreman, who remains with the band today. So they're getting closer to their classic lineup now. Well, I guess this is probably one of their classic lineups. Mm. They toured in support of the album and headlined the Australian leg of the Vans Warped Tour, as well as going over and performing on the American Warped Tour as well.
Sick.
In 1999, they released A Man's Not a Camel, which was produced by Californian Eddie Ashworth, who had previously recorded Sublime's huge self-titled album.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I did. We also listened to that album when we were in Weed Hornet.
Oh, yeah. What a big influence on Weed Hornet.
Oh, a big influence. Tom the Singer definitely had Man's Not a Camel. Remember that one?
Do you know that saying, Bob? Man's Not a Camel?
So yeah.
It's like in reference to, do you want a drink? Yeah, mate, a man's not a camel.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Yeah, I know. It's a man. Do you want one or not? It's a yes or no.
Yeah. You've used so many words to say yes or no. The album hit number 11 on the ARIA chart. The ARIA chart's the Australian... mainstream chart. Mm-hmm. A new high for the band. And celebrations didn't last long, though, as the band announced they had to cancel their US tour due to Jay having a heart attack.
Oh, what?
Okay.
Jay's later said that it was the heart attack was a bit of an exaggeration, but there was some sort of a heart issue and he had to rest for quite a while.
You don't fuck around with heart issues.
No.
You know?
I don't.
No.
And you shouldn't either.
It's pretty important. I was having like palpitations and my heart would race every now and then. I'd just be like lying down and it would just suddenly race.
Did you get that checked out?
Yeah, I did. Because I was like, I'm not fucking around. Even if it's something minor, if your heart stops, you're done. Yeah. I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that's true.
You grow another hand, you can grow another leg.
But whatever.
You can grow another head.
But you can't grow a heart. And some of our bloody politicians up in... on Capitol Hill have proven that.
They've tried in jars, trying to grow them, but they can't.
They can't do it, no matter how much money you have.
Anyway, I was fine.
That's the end of that. There's a Saints player who's been on the long-term injury list because he had heart palpitations. I think he got a pacemaker put in.
Shit.
And then it happened again in the preseason the following year. So he had all of 2019 out. Now he's hoping to start up again in 2020.
So Jay's had heart issues.
Yeah.
How old is he by this point? This is
late 90s, so end of 1999. So he would have been in his late 20s, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's young.
Yeah. That is young.
Really, even 30 is young, you know?
Yeah.
I even agree. Early 30s.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Is young.
Yeah.
You're still young up until you don't feel young anymore, I suppose. Really, age is just a number. It's just a number. Construct. It's a construct. Really.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. That cancel the US tour.
That's right. But the chart success of A Man's on a Camel caught the attention of major labels. And in 2000, the band signed with Sony, giving the band their biggest payday, with the band able to buy new equipment and even pay their rent for a couple of years.
Whoa.
But the band weren't happy with the album, which was called Shut Your Mouth. And it didn't sell particularly well. Jay has described it as a little more serious than our previous work, adding that after it was released, they realized it's pretty fucking shit. That's funny, because I missed that one. I remember, you know, when you get a bit too cool towards mid to the end of high school, I started listening to more metal and less punk, and I thought Man's Not a Camel was a bit soft.
Yeah.
They had slower songs, it was whatever. So I fell off them during A Man's on a Camel, and I totally missed Shut Your Mouth, which, as it turns out, is even the band seem to say is their worst album. But I was listening to it today. I listened to their whole back catalogue today. That's the beauty of a punk band. All their albums are about half an hour long. And I reckon it's pretty good.
Mm.
It's not what I was expecting it to be really bad, but it's got a bunch of
I'm just looking
songs.
At it now. I'm enjoying that it's like their major label debut and they're like, nah, it's not really our sound, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are you sold out? Track one is called Everything's Fucked. It goes for a minute 37. It's still punk.
Everything is fucked though, eh? Like, that's still relatable now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like 20 years later, and I'm still like, yeah.
That song is evergreen. The album still charted in the top 40, but Jay has since said that the major label weren't a good fit for them, as they didn't do the legwork or put up the posters in shops or get our CD in bizarre places that we often tour, unlike Shock, a smaller indie label who did do all of that, as opposed to Sony who just had a bunch of telephone staff sort of calling around. So I guess they didn't know the tricks, and it led to them selling less albums than they did when they were an independent band, which is interesting. Possibly the album being pretty fucking shit didn't help either. But I reckon I still feel like if it went a different way, that album could have sold pretty well. But like I said, it still made the top 40.
Mm.
The Age reported that, quote, Friends of Rom left Sony on amicable terms and signed to Epitaph Records, which is one of the biggest punk labels in the world, with bands such as Rancid and Pennywise for Australia and New Zealand. They remained with Fat Records in the US and Japan. In 2002, founding member Lex Feltham left the band. The official is the bass player. He's the one who brought in the slap. He left that as a legacy for those to follow him. The official word from the band was that he was booted after, quote, insisting that Friends of Rom should incorporate synth and guitar-shaped keyboards into their work. Which obviously is probably bullshit as well. I think he just went like, oh, I'm 30 now. I don't want to be in a punk band anymore. After holding auditions in Sydney, they recruited 18-year-old Adelaide bass player Tom Creese. The new setup seemed to work well.
They keep getting all these young members in.
It is interesting. It's always young blood, isn't it? The doctor and Tom both came in as 18-year-olds. I read that actually in an interview from 10 years back or something. Someone asked, I think it was they were about to tour Taiwan, and the interviewer asked the question, how old are you guys? And Jay was like, we're kind of range in age a bit. Oh, I'm 30, our youngest member's 18, so I guess average age of 25. So maybe that's what it's doing. It's like you guys keeping me young.
Yeah.
Oh, average age of the pod?
We bring you down.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
And what's our average age now? Like 33?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. Oh, death is near. Oh, no.
That is when Jesus died.
It's actually slightly younger.
Oh, thank God. God, you're a fucking killjoy. What is it then?
Because there's two 30-year-olds.
Yeah, right. 29-year-olds. Let me hold on to it.
Sorry. Even younger then.
Yeah, but Matt is 175.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's actually quite a bit older than
factoring that in and blasting it through the prism.
The porcelain prism?
That's where I did my best calculations.
So the band's first album for Epitaph was called Sansushi, which we mentioned very late in last week's episode.
That's right.
Was a return to form, debuting at number 24 on the ARIA charts and featuring songs such as Russell Crowe's band's A Fucking Pile of Shit, Bucket Bong, and World's Fucked as Cunt. In 2003, singer Jay Wally was at a protest rally against mandatory detention for asylum seekers in Sydney when he got caught up in a ruckus and was arrested. But they got lucky, or he got lucky, as according to Jay, we got arrested, but it turns out the cops were fans. The cops were saying, Jay, really like your new stuff. It's really cool. As we were leaving, they were saying, Jay, you should write a song about this. This is funny because their album, Sans Souci, has a song on it called
Who'd Be a Cop?
Yeah.
And it's very anti-police.
Very anti-cop. This is saying, yeah.
Yeah, I remember my sister's drunk friend. Well, you know, he was a drunk once. And
he's the drunk friend.
Big fan of punk music, and he was being fined for drinking in public, and he started singing this lyrics of Who'd Be a Cop. It's very anti-police. It's funny that the cops are like, oh, hey! Yeah, I guess big fan.
They see the comedy in it, I guess.
Yeah.
In 2004, the band played the Bass in the Grass Festival in Darwin. Radio presenter Jackie O from the Kyle and Jackie O show, you know the story? Was set to MC the day, but she arrived 9 hours late. As the band were about to take the stage, they were told the show was running overtime. They would have to cut a few songs out, cut their set short. And then as they were about to go on, Jackie O finally rocked up and goes straight out to talk to the crowd. And in response, they were just sort of sitting in the wings with their gear ready to go out. Lindsay, the doctor, started playing a riff from AC/DC's Thunderstruck, drowning out her voice.
It's very funny.
Which upset Jackie O. She left the stage. And then they played their set. But they sort of went out going, fuck pop stars. Fuck pop stars, which was the show she was presenting on at the time. And they were talking about how shows like Australian Idol and Pop Stars, which are like American Idol, they probably don't need translating for that. Pop Idol in England, are hurting the Australian music industry so record labels can make a quick buck, basically saying that at the time they'd take the winner of Australian Idol and the five runners-up but also drop other acts.
Mm.
So drop established acts to get them on, sell a bunch of records, and then drop these reality show contestants as well. On the next episode of the Kyle and Jackie O show, this interview is on YouTube, which will be linked in the show notes. They phoned Jay on air to confront him about the incident and told him that Friends Are On would not be played on the Elsterra network anymore, to which Jay responded, the thing is, Kyle, have you ever played us on the Elsterra network before? And they're like, yes, I'm Triple M, I think. But it was about a 10-minute thing, and it's a bit up and down. I remember listening to it at the time and thinking, like, geez, Jay was all over that. Now it's sort of like, oh, there is something a bit weird about, I don't know. But
right, because I haven't heard it in so many years. But, yeah, I remember when YouTube first started, you'd hear that interview. Like, and he's like, yeah, and, you know, Kyle is famously sanctimonious. And
He was so contradictory as well, Kyle, in it. He sort of, at one point, he's like, we'll never play on the station again. He's like, you never did. And he's like, oh, we could. And then he's going, mate, if you've just got to get the right person, no one's ever put your music in front of me. If you just got to get the music in front of the right people. And then he's going, your music's shit, mate. That's why no one's playing it. It was like, oh man, you're sort of in such this weird cycle. It doesn't quite make sense.
Are we putting music in front of Kyle?
I don't know.
Is he the one to ask? I thought he was doing Trial by Kyle.
Yes.
Yes, he's doing a Judge Judy style show.
That's in Australia now. He's doing a Judge Judy style show. But back then, he was doing Trial by Kyle, and it was trialing demos for new CDs. The 10-minute convo ended with some bickering before Kyle hung up on Jay and then said, man, what a cock. It was...
I mean, out of context. Does sound a bit like he's complimenting.
Man, what a cock.
That thing was awesome.
It's all about tone.
What a cock. Ooh.
I should say, during a Jackie O, she made it pretty clear. She was like, it was pretty upsetting to her. She was sort of, I think she felt a bit bullied by it or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jay did sort of apologize for that. But yeah, it was a weird, and it ended up just like ramping up at the end with us sort of just talking over each other. And
why was she 9 hours late?
I'm not sure if it was a flight or what, but it sort of feels
like
just
finally going,
look, I'm not coming now.
Yeah.
And not when you get there, sort of jump out in front of another band.
Yeah.
You can sort of understand why they'd be annoyed.
But that was, I can also understand why it would have been really distressing for her.
Yeah.
For sure.
And did anyone go to this music festival to hear her?
Yeah, why the fuck?
No, I don't think so. I think, well, that's what Jay was sort of explaining in the interview as well. He's like, just before she went out, there was another person talking, and it was like the basically, what do you call the territory's premier? It's like the head minister or something.
Yeah, right.
And they were just getting yelled at by the crowd, and then it was sort of going the same way. They were like, just get to the fucking music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, what you go to a music festival for, funnily enough.
Yeah.
For the music.
So it was kind of like, anyway.
Not to see Jackie O.
Jackie O Festival. Now, that's my kind of festival.
The funny thing was the Kyle threat of, apparently they also called up their record label before this interview and said, you're finished in this industry, you're dead in this town and that sort of stuff. And one of Jackie O's security guards threatened violence against friends of Rome on the day. And Jay's like, did you know about that, Jackie? And she's like, yeah, I did, but... And then I was interested to hear where that was going to go. Because he goes, do you think that's good behavior or something? And she's like, yeah, but... And then it sort of, she doesn't get to explain it.
So it's weird.
It's such a real... I'd love to know, like, the whole story, because it's really just this clip.
I'd love to know why Kyle thinks that he has the power to call a record label and go, you're done. Because I'm Kyle.
Yeah.
Fuck off. No one cares.
They did... Oz Stereo executives later said, that's not really his role. We have a music team who do pick the songs, and that's been made clear to Kyle.
Do you think that he also, like, he goes to the McDonald's drive-thru and is like, you didn't put a pickle in my burger. You're finished. You'll never make another burger in this world, McDonald's.
He's incredible.
Media.
It's been made clear to him that's not his role. They brought him in for an interview and had to go through his contract. Now, nowhere here in the job description does it mention you making or breaking record labels, for example.
Just want to clarify, that's not in your wheelhouse.
You don't think you do that, do you?
Media Watch on ABC TV later that week featured the interview or clips from it with host David Marr saying, Kyle and Jackie O are part of a new generation of radio thugs.
Love Media Watch.
From the ABC.
Love
nice.
Media Watch.
In a strange twist of fate, Jane the Doctor got the gig of hosting Triple J's breakfast show the following year, making them direct competitors of Kyle and Jackie O.
You're done in this town. What?
Shit. I thought I'd heard that name before.
So the situation was made stranger still by the fact that Friends of Rome were at one point banned from Triple J, apparently being played on there. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but apparently that is believed that they were
banned.
Is that the doesn't language? Happen all that often on Triple J. I think it was they were giving Triple J shit, but that doesn't feel like a thing Triple J would. And especially when, unless there was a huge turnover in decision makers there, that they would end up in the plum hosting job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it feels like, I don't know about that, but their show included, it was just a bit of fun, basically. And it included one segment I remember quite well. It was called The Friday Fuckwit, where listeners would call in and nominate who should get the title of The Friday Fuckwit. And after every nomination, there'd be the same sting of a play, Friday Fuckwit. Sort of bleep over fuck. Very fun.
I remember that, actually.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you're jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. In 2006, the band released their seventh studio LP titled Forever Malcolm Young, which was in reference to AC/DC's rhythm guitarist, Malcolm Young.
Yep.
The album was funded with money Jay won in a South African casino.
Of course.
What do you mean?
I only just learnt this week. This is fascinating. Jay recounts a story in an interview saying, it was just some random fluky win from $1 on a blackjack table, playing like a promotional square they were having, where if you got 3-7 of diamonds, you got the jackpot. So, yeah, I got this at like 10 o'clock in the morning at some random casino in Durban or somewhere. I won something like 197,000 rand, which is like 40 grand Australian.
From a buck. That's from awesome. A buck.
That's so good.
And he goes, and yeah, came back and went, what'll I do with that? So we did that record. What a way to fund it.
That's so great.
The album featured, and this was the album that got me back into them, and then I went back to Sans Souci, and I reckon since then, just gone from strength to strength. This one featured tracks like Johnny Ramone was in a fucking good band, but he was a cunt, Ren Wyatt and Alter Boys, and I'm a backwards fucking useless piece of dog shit, and I vote. The album debuted at number 34 on the ARIA charts. When asked about those who get offended by their use of language, Jay responded, I often get amazed how people often get offended by language, especially in Australia when it's nothing you wouldn't hear at your local office or schoolyard. Throughout this time, Jay and the Doctor were still hosting The Breakfast Show on Triple J. From 2007, they were also joined by Miff Warhurst. It is a funny thing about language. Like, I reckon you're hearing Fs and Cs. I don't know why I'm censoring myself after saying both of them a lot today, but you hear them all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe it's because, like, if you're standing with your friend and your friend's two small children, you automatically censor yourself without even realizing it. Right. You're not dropping Fs and Cs. So.
Or you shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't. I should. And apologize. Oops, sorry.
Sorry, you little cunt.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Ah, every time.
Oh, I made it worse.
So you don't know who's listening.
Stop crying.
You don't know who's in the car on radio who's
right,
listening.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's also a broadcast code, so you're just not used to it. So yeah, when the show goes out at 7 o'clock, then I'll say stuff. So if you do hear it, you go, ooh, don't usually hear that about this time.
But that's fair for radio, but we're talking about his albums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's weird for people to be offended.
On Triple J, you'd normally just do a language warning at the top.
Yeah, but
for those sort of reasons.
We're one of few that will play songs not censored.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say F. We can say other words. But, yeah, you have to issue a language warning. But we still get texts sometimes of people like, I've got children in the car. How can you play this? It's like, why turn it down or change it? It's not on us to know who's in the car.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and you must know this is just what this station does.
Yeah. Go listen to something shit then.
Put on Smooth FM.
Yeah, if you want Michael Bublé.
So smooth.
So there's a radio station in Australia called Smooth FM, and it's set up to this for the listeners. It looked like I was telling you about it. You've just brought it up. But they play smooth songs and classic hits. And their hosts, I'm guessing they just record it all in a day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Smash it out.
And just smash out all these forward
generic
and back announcing
things.
So many jokes. One of my favourites, who was it? I think it was Australian actor Andrew Datto, one of the Dattos. Mm. I might have mentioned this before.
Maybe Cameron Datto.
Maybe Cameron Datto.
I think it's Cameron Datto.
And he goes, maybe, what are you up to at the moment? Before I play this next track, maybe you want to slide into the bath, open a nice bottle of red.
So creepy. Don't tell people to get into the bath.
That's weird.
Also, most commercial stations, a lot of it's pre-recorded.
Yeah, right.
Like all the weekend shows on, not all, but a lot of the weekend shows on like commercial,
I feel like all done
on a Friday.
Normally can tell, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's just to save money from turning on the lights on the weekend.
Yeah. That's
who wants to work on the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, smart. Yeah.
But I'm going to work after this. I'm going to work at 1 a.m.
Yeah, definitely does not need to be done live.
No, you could definitely put a tape on. Just play some music. I don't have to be there. but I'm going.
I think that's actually how Jay and the Doctor start. They did some overnights. I remember one time listening to them in the middle of the night. Must have been one of their first times, and they played a Pantera song. I think it was 5 Minutes Alone. And I think they were making fun of it, but I didn't. I don't know if I got the irony till later. But they go, still sounds as fresh as it did back then. Well, maybe they were.
Maybe
they were
being genuine. Maybe they loved it.
They were being genuine. Jay announced he was quitting radio to travel at the end of the year. That's of 2007. But the Doctor continued on in the role, now joined by Robbie Buck and Marie Cardi as. What was that? I can't remember what that was called. Robbie, Marie, and the Doctor, I think. Yep.
Mm. Where do they get their ideas?
In 2010, that was a really good show. I really enjoyed all those shows. In 2010, did I say it? Initially they took, Jay and the Doctor took over from Adam and Will, which is one of the iconic breakfast shows. All great shows. What great memories.
Yeah.
In 2010, Tom Ballard and Alex Dyson took over the breakfast shift and the Doctor started hosting the afternoon show solo.
Much better hours.
Yeah.
Much better alarm time.
It's like a more chilled out show as well, right? It's all a bit more relaxed. In the morning, it seems to be the shows have to be like, we're on.
Pew,
quick
pew,
section
pew.
Segments of bang, bang, bang.
You're also getting
banter.
Up at like 4:30 in the morning. That's no good.
Yeah.
That's no good. Drive show, you rock up at like 10.
Love that.
Done at 6, out you go.
Fantastic.
It's the dream. It's the perfect hours.
Perfect hours. In 2010, I don't know why I'd probably talk too much about the radio days, but anyway, I thought that would be interesting to at least Jess.
And it was.
In 2010, Frenzel played a festival with a lineup including Megadeth, Descendants, NoFX, Gwar, and Dropkick Murphys. I think it was called the No Sleep Till Festival. I couldn't find this confirmed anywhere, but I remember there being a story that this was Descendants' first time they toured in Australia for ages, and they were going to have to cut their set a little bit short because of the local council curfew. And I believe that the bands all chipped in and said, we'll all pay the fine so that they can keep playing. But I couldn't find that confirmed anyway. But I'm pretty sure that's a true thing. So Frenzel and NoFX and others chipped in, must have been, a few grand.
Yeah, it'd be a bit.
The following year, they released Smoker at the Pet Food Factory, which was recorded in Colorado by Descendants drummer Bill Stevenson. For me, this continued the run of every album release being better than the last one since Sanssouci. I reckon they just one of those bands, you know, I was at the point of like, oh, I like your older stuff when I was too cool in high school. And now I'm like, actually, they're getting better with every album. The sound is getting bigger and the songs are catchier and faster and more fun.
You don't think they peaked with Dick Sandwich?
I don't think they did. Although that is maybe the best album title.
It is very good.
Could you just put your dick in bread?
Yeah. Why are we severing these dicks?
Just put your dick in bread.
Yeah.
Nice fresh piece of bread might feel nice too.
Whoa. I'll have a light
fresh
ride.
Out of the oven. I'll get a crusty Vienna.
I was thinking like just a tip-top white. So it would just look like a sausage in bread.
Oh. I was thinking that you like hollow out a cob loaf.
You do whatever you want. Yeah. It's your dick.
I just place it on there. There
it's
you
your
go.
Dick. It's your loaf.
You do whatever you want to do. But if I had a dick, I'd be putting it in a piece of bread like a little sausage.
Yeah.
If I had a dick.
Jess, come on.
Yeah.
Big sausage.
Thank you.
If you have, if you're going to get one.
Get a big one.
Dream big.
Yeah, you're right.
The album reached number 14 on the ARIA charts and featured tracks When My Baby Smiles at Me, I Go to Rehab, Knuckleheads, and Mummy Doesn't Know You're a Nazi. Jay explained the story behind that last one. It was based on a real story. This is Jay speaking now. That was when punk band Propagandi Propagandi. I thought I fucked that up. This is when punk band Propagandi were touring a couple of years ago. They had quite a lot of interest from some neo-Nazi websites with basically all of these tools sitting online writing all this hateful shit. So our manager was promoting the tour and he was telling us about how the police were aware of some of these websites and that they have some pretty genuine bad dudes involved with them who were pretty violent guys. So they take the threat seriously. Anyway, they'd been following this one guy and they'd been tracking his computer use. And the police ended up going around to his house just before the Propagandi tour. And when they got there, they realized he was a 16-year-old kid and his mum actually had no idea that he was a Nazi. Can you imagine? So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty good idea for a song.
And so were the Nazis anti-propaganda or they were fans?
Anti-propaganda.
Right, yeah. I was going to say, because they are...
Because they're a very...
Political.
Progressive kind of band. Would be so funny to be a cop. Yeah, I'm like, you're thinking you're going to get this guy.
Yeah, you're in full SWAT.
Yeah, the SWAT team's ready to go. On the ground, on the ground.
This
oh, no.
Kid.
Oh, holy shit.
And his mum's, get in here, Kevin.
Yeah, I was going to say Kevin as well.
What have you been up to?
Kevin.
Kevin, I've burnt the muffins.
Kevin.
Kevin, please. Nazism?
Really?
Have you got your homework done at least first? Wild. No, Mein Kampf before dinner.
Couldn't you just play video games like the other boys?
In 2013, the band were gearing up for a national tour with Descendants, Body Jar and the Bouncing Souls, which I had tickets to, when they announced they had to cancel due to, quote, sudden and unexpected illness. As it turns out, Jay suffered from two seizures out of the blue. It was believed he had a brain tumour. A little while later, Jay posted on the band's Facebook page explaining this. This is one of the stories where I'm like, oh, this has got to be told on a Do Go On episode.
Mm.
So it's lengthy. He describes it as a bit of a doozy. So
okay.
Anyway, I'll let Jay take it from here. On the 25th of Jan, I was loading a bass cabinet into my car at the pet food factory for a Chinese Burns unit gig that night when I started to lose vision and feel pretty strange. I thought I probably shouldn't drive right now, so I went inside and tried to buy a water. I was looking at the coins in my hand and realized I had no idea what they were and what they were for. Luckily, my friend Davis from Front End Loader was there, and after a brief moment of thinking I was on drugs, ushered me down a corridor where I proceeded to have the first of two seizures. This has never happened before, and I'm so grateful Davis was there with a cool head to see me through it and call an ambulance. The next thing I remember was waking up in hospital with an incredibly painful back and neck and my family all around trying to smile through stressed expressions. I also have a vague memory of Lindsay McDougall by my bed laughing at how he'd seen me in the nude.
What a good friend.
The actual doctor came and told me I'd had two seizures. They'd scanned my brain and found a small tumour about 1 centimetre in diameter, the nature of which he wouldn't know until they operated, removed it and sent it for a biopsy. Worst case would be a malignant melanoma. The best would be a benign tumour or an infection of some kind. I didn't feel a lot of positivity from the neurosurgery team. The earliest they were going to be able to do the op was Feb 14th, so
Couple of weeks later.
Yeah. What followed was a grim 3 weeks waiting for the operation, trying to not think the worst. My beautiful wife, family and friends that knew were amazing during this time, cooking food, looking after our 3-year-old, sending super positive messages and phone calls, and generally trying to lift me out of what I reckon was the bleakest time of my life. Gordy Foreman, the drummer, visit boosted my spirits regardless of his real motive to check which of the pills I'd been prescribed he could use recreationally. There were several.
What do you got?
Anyway.
Hey, buddy, okay? You feeling good? What did I get you on? Out of interest, can I get you? Do you need me to get anything for you?
Any spares? Or Valentine's Day brain surgery. Sounds like a Ramones song. They gave me general anesthetic and cut a 10-centimetre rectangle at the back left of my skull, which took out the offending alien and put the skull piece back.
Oh.
It was over in about 3 hours. That's wild, taking skull out and replacing skull.
Yep.
2 hours later, I was in intensive care when the head of the neuro team came in and said, good news, looks like it was some kind of infection. Holy shit, the relief I was feeling was overwhelming. Not just for me, but for my family as well. I felt like I could breathe for the first time in weeks. No cancer, or as Gordy put it, happy Valentine's Day, you tumorless fuck.
Now, where are the pills?
You don't need them now.
So what the hell was it? How did I get an infection in my brain? I was tested for all sorts of things over a couple of days until finally they got some results back from the lab. Here's an approximation of the conversation. Have you been to Central America in the last few years? Asked the doctor from the infectious diseases department. Sure, we think it could be a parasite. Again, is this somehow related to Pico the botfly larva I picked up in the same region? It's another story. No, this is specifically neurocysticercosis. Basically the egg from a pig tapeworm. A pig? I'm fucking vegetarian. How did I get the egg from a fucking pink worm in my brain? They then very calmly explained to me the life cycle of this thing. This is a bit gross. This is my understanding. Skip forward if you don't like gross stuff. This is my understanding of it. So the tapeworm eggs live in pig flesh, most common in Central America, but found in loads of other countries too. The pig is killed and the meat undercooked and eaten by old mate. Old mate grows a tapeworm in his intestine, which eventually produces eggs. Old mate goes to El Baño. Doesn't, or the porcelain.
Porcelain prison.
doesn't wash his hands properly, then busies himself. If I said El Baño, I don't want to get any
Baño.
Tweets.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
I couldn't get propaganda right, though. Have I said it wrong again?
No, you said it right.
That was
time.
Right.
All right. So he doesn't wash his hands properly, then busies himself cooking my vegetarian burrito. Gross. Once in my stomach, they never become tapeworms, but they migrate into the muscle, most of the time causing no problem, and you'll never know it's there. The only place they'll have problems is if they make it to your brain or eyes.
Oh.
Once in the brain, the body reacts by sealing it in a kind of cocoon or cyst.
Oh, wow.
Quite happily lived for 4 fucking years. It's only when it dies that the body has some kind of inflammatory response, resulting in swelling, which in turn led to seizures. I'm out of hospital now, finally after an extended stay due to picking up 2 separate infectious post-operation.
Oh.
2 separate infections post-operation. Bloody hell.
Fuck.
Headaches, fevers and the likes.
Ugh.
What a nightmare. If it wasn't for the fear of death and the horrific pain, I've actually been living close to my dream lifestyle, lying down, watching movies and bathing in opiates. I don't feel like I've retained any deficits from the brain surgery, but I guess only time will tell. Perhaps the slice will be taken out of my golf swing. Good line. My friend Clem thinks I'll become racist.
Sorry, that's funny.
Sorry about the descendant shows. I'm sure I was more bummed than anyone that I was silly enough to buy tickets because we were on the bill. I heard it was great. It was great. I still went along. That were probably the band I was looking forward to the most on the lineup, but the other 3 bands are sick anyway. I feel like there was someone replaced them, but I can't remember who it was. Taco. Don't mention tacos, him. That's what got him in this pigment mess.
Yuck, isn't that gross?
And what a way to find that out and be like, oh, for 4 years that has been with
you. Yeah, it's been there the whole time.
And you would think, oh, I don't eat meat, so I'm not going to cop any of these. Mm.
Yet he has 2 parasite stories, clearly.
He said, I'm having a hard time putting into words the depth of gratitude I have for the love I've felt for my amazing wife, my family, this band and my friends. So that'll have to do in this forum. I'll get emo with you over a beer real soon. Love, shit for brains. It's kind of beautiful. It's a real nice sort of heartfelt message, but a real fucked story.
Awful story. Oh, wow. My God. That is full on.
Yeah.
And then infections post-op as well. Like, yeah. Oh, man. Let it be over.
Yeah.
Let me go home.
That does feel unfair.
Yeah, totally.
Share the infections around, can't you?
But it's gross, but it's good that it wasn't a tumor. Oh.
Totally.
They could take it out.
It's
really the
best case scenario.
Yeah.
And I believe, this is a couple of years later now, I believe he hasn't, as far as I know, he hasn't felt any long-term brain effects from the surgery. The run of weird luck for the band continued when, at a show in 2015, drummer Gordy Foreman came to the front of the stage saying, pretty sure if you want a stage dive, it's simple. He then dived in the crowd. On the video, I've seen this on video, he then instructed the crowd, Here's the 1, 2, 3 dive. Stand up here. Then he walked away from the mic as 1, 2, 3, and he dived into the crowd before getting thrown back towards the stage, landing upside down on the barrier.
Ow.
In a video of the incident, you can hear the bass player Tom go, don't break his arm, please. He needs that. And singer Jay says, oh, that's no good. Oh, no, he's broken his arm.
Oh.
And then they're carrying him off in the video. It's...
He started by saying, it's very simple. This is all you got to do. And it ends with him going, oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
The band later released a statement saying, you got to admit, we're pretty great at irony. A dude in the crowd at his 22nd Frenzel Rom show tried to stage dive and he sucked. So Gordy, being the benevolent soul he is, got up from behind his drum kit to show the young gent how it's done. Unfortunately, a combination of an enthusiastic crowd, a selfless drummer, and an unforgiving crowd barrier meant that Gordy's humerus landed in 2 pieces, snapped in half like a drumstick.
Oh.
So he was he was out of action like mid tour as well. So I had to delay a few shows and get a replacement drummer.
You'd feel like an idiot.
And there's a mid tour, but mid show. So they finished the show as a three piece. Tom, the bass player, ended up playing drums. Jay sang and played bass, and they sort of just got through the show. But yeah, you'd
feel like such an idiot. You'd be so embarrassed.
Oh.
Which is why I never staged dive at our shows. You know? I know how to, obviously.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple.
It's very simple. It's here, I'll show you. You guys stand over there. Two of you can catch me, surely.
A few months later, he was good to go again, though. So he recovered. He still drums for them.
Very good.
He still drums for Mindsnare as well. You're familiar with Mindsnare?
Yeah, much heavier.
Heavier. Another real cool they're a Melbourne band. So he's a Melbourne guy. They kind of spread around Australia a bit. Started as a Sydney band. But for a long time, they had the bass player in Adelaide, drummer in Melbourne, and then the other two in Sydney. The album release that he was talking about, that was album number 9, was 2017's High Viz High T, which is their most recent album. 6-year gap. So each album of late has been a little bit slower to come out than the one before. It was recorded again by Bill Stevenson of the Descendants in Colorado. Colorado?
Down to my ranch in Colorado.
It featured tracks including Cunt Act and, of course, Pigworm.
Of course.
When asked in an interview, how did Bill feel about the song Cunt Act when Americans seem to find that word more harsh than Australians do, which we're aware of here at Do Go On, Jay replied, he's been to Australia quite a bit, so he gets the common vernacular of Australians. He's actually said he wanted to write the Descendants version of the song, which would be called Dick Move, which is basically the American equivalent of Cunt Act. Dick move. Bit of a dick move.
I don't feel like that is.
You know how offensive that is here?
I mean, we also say dick move.
Do we? That's a dick move.
Yeah.
That sounds I can only hear it in an American accent now in my brain. That's a dick move, mate. Do we say it?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a
Sorry, younger people do, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, people in their 20s say it.
Do you say cunt act?
No.
Yeah, right. It's an old person saying
it. I don't say that word. It's very offensive.
Act.
Yeah, I don't say it.
Dog act.
How dare you?
Sorry about that.
That's copyright. You can't say that anywhere other than Triple J.
Triple J.
Hopefully my music isn't going to get banned from the station.
It definitely is.
Do you
is.
Have that power?
I have that power. Damn in it. That I will tweet at Richard Kingsmill.
Am I finished in this town?
Is that in your contract? Just so you know, we have other people that do that.
There is a music team, Jess. No, it's me.
We have other people who finish careers at the station.
It's still funny they had to explain to Kyle. Not your role.
Yeah. You can't tell a record label that they won't work in this country again. Who the fuck do you think you are? I hate him so much.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. In my head as well, he's sticking up for his mate, right? That's why he's...
Sure.
But, he's gone about in a weird way, but you can sort of understand, yeah, I don't know, whatever. But
I'm just non-confrontational as well, so I wouldn't call him live on air.
Yeah.
And be like...
It's a...
Fuck off.
After all, he called the record label off air and then called it Jay on air. It felt like at the time, because Jay, for the most part, stayed pretty calm, and I think he came off a bit better, like, you know, when those arguments where one of them gets a bit more heated?
Yeah.
He didn't do that as much. And I remember at the time being like, it's weird that they even put that out.
Yeah. that didn't go as well as they were hoping
it
would.
Tight. I think on the YouTube one that's uploaded with the most views or something like Jay from Frenzel owns Kyle Sanderlands or something. It was 2003. People used to say owns a lot. You wouldn't understand that.
No,
people talk.
I was far too young.
Due to hearing problems, bass player Tom Kreese left the band after 17 years. So
Years
ago, started when he was 18. So he was in the band, you know, half his life. And that happened really quietly because I saw him a couple months ago and I didn't even realize he'd left the band. I'm like, oh, new bass player. Or I just thought it was a fill-in bass player and then I realized later. So
all right.
Is he still slapping that thing?
Oh, sure. Just more quietly. Because it was similar to Brian Johnson from AC/DC. He had to quit because of long-term hearing damage as well. And I think it's doctors say, you keep playing in this loud rock band, you're going to lose it completely. And they're like, oh, I like hearing. So, yeah, it's a tough call, but makes sense as well.
Do you rejoin AC/DC? Do they still tour now, though?
I think they tour with, don't they? Axl Rose, I think, is full-time singer now. isn't he?
Oh.
Pretty sure.
Mm.
So Tom was replaced by Michael Dallinger, who was formerly of Newcastle punk band Local Resident Failure, which is a band that was named after a Friends of Rome song. Which is kind of cool.
That's nice.
Right, and how old was he, 18?
he looked like he was probably 30-ish. Probably.
Okay, a bit more age appropriate.
Again, DiCaprio style. A bit young, mate, for a bass player in your band.
Well, I always thought they must have just joked about this because that guy was only 18. I always thought that they, when the other guy left, that they got a 15-year-old in the band for a while.
Oh, maybe he was younger. Was he 16? Maybe he was younger.
Maybe they just joked about that. Right.
Yeah.
Because obviously, because they're much. But yeah, I was always like, whoa, imagine being a teenager and you get to be in Friends with Rom. It's so cool.
I'm only thinking about it as like having to hang out with a teenager all the time.
Yeah.
And like if you're 18, 19 listening to this, I'm sure you're awesome. But trust me, you don't want to hang out with me. And I probably don't want to hang out with you. We have different activities we want to do. We have different interests at, you know? So if you're touring with someone who's like 10 years your junior, I don't know. Do you not find that a bit like, I don't know. I'm just going to shut up.
No, I think that probably makes sense. It probably depends on the person.
Totally.
I'm centuries older than you two and I still tour around with you.
Yeah, we've tried to make you stop.
Wait, was that a subtle message?
Leave us alone, old man.
Hey, guy. Hey, gang.
That's what Dave and I
are you up to today?
Yeah, that's what Dave and I are always shuckers? Doing activities.
Shuckers?
Yeah, should we go and own someone?
I sometimes write own like pwn with a P because I think that's, you know, you guys. Guys? I'm coming towards the end. I'll finish with this kind of nice story Jay told about how they got invited to play the Montebello Rock Fest in Montreal a couple of years ago. They were there and they weren't really sure why they were invited necessarily. Mm. They hadn't been in Canada for a while. This is Jay again. He says, how it happened was that there were these two Mexican kids who were driving their car in the south of Mexico on their way to the beach. And they picked up a hitchhiker. And when they picked up the hitchhiker, they were listening to Smoko at the pet food factory in their car. And they told the hitchhiker, oh, this is our favorite Australian band. They're never going to come to Mexico, though, so we're never going to get the same. They were sort of bummed out about it. So the guy they picked up said, oh, I run this festival in Canada, and it's the biggest festival in the whole country, and I'm going to pay for that band to fly to my festival, and I'm going to pay for you two guys to come up to Montreal to see your favorite band. And so we met these guys when we were backstage at the festival in Montreal, and it was wild. What a wild story. Isn't that nice?
I just looked at Dave, and his mouth was agape.
That dude was hitchhiking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I run a very, very successful festival. I could easily afford to fly you to Canada. Are you going that way?
I will not pay for a taxi or a bus.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, somebody that is... lives the free and easy lifestyle, but...
Love that. And then, obviously, yeah, they play the festival, hope that a few other people out there knew who they were.
Footage of them playing, and that was... I watched that video earlier today, and that was one of the stuff they go... this was on a Fat Records compilation, and the crowd definitely knew the song very well. There were a lot of crowd members singing along. So that was an early song. That was something off Coughing Up a Storm as well. So
that's awesome.
That was like a 20, 23-year-old song at that point, or 20, at least 20 years old. So the band's over a quarter of a century old now. They did a big tour a couple of years ago where they let the audience choose the songs on an online poll, which is sort of fun. They just got so many songs, and they're just really fun to see live. That's why I keep going back to see them. I saw them a few years ago, and the night before I tweeted at the doctor. I said, hey, any chance you can play Lead Poison Gene or Red Wine and Altar Boys? Because they're two of my favorite tracks of theirs. And he replied the next day. He said, oh, sir, I miss it. Are you coming to the show tonight? I'll play him then. But I wasn't, unfortunately, going to the
show
or whatever. But, yeah, what a legend. It does seem like a cool guy. I did read as well, maybe just wrapping up, you know, how I said when Jay told his dad about his change in direction that you'd never see a more disappointed human. Apparently now his dad really supports what he's done. So
after 25 years.
His dad now has a tattoo of a dick sandwich.
Yeah. He's like, that's my boy.
And that is the end of my report.
Oh, well done, Matty.
So it was cool. I was glad that was suggested as a topic because I do love them. And I never would have thought to have done them for some reason just because I don't know why. I just thought it feels like maybe an in thing. But the way that Michael Nados explained it to me, he's like, they had a bunch of interesting things happen to him.
Yeah.
Like the Jackie O controversy, like the pig worm, Gordy breaking his arm. You know, there were bits and pieces that were interesting along the way. And the Triple J stuff. So hopefully that was interesting for people who haven't heard of him. If you are into sort of catchy, fun punk music, fast fun punk music, definitely look them up. They're all on Spotify and whatnot. And yeah, you could start at any album, but I'd start at the more recent ones maybe. Or maybe Sansushi is a good starting point. It's sort of, it was at the last live show, I saw him like, I think he even said this was like, this album was our rebirth after the major label weirdness where they went sold out with the song Everything's Fucked.
Sellouts.
Well, that brings us to everyone's favourite section of the show, which is, of course, the fact, quote, or question section. I just realised this is episode 222.
222.
Ideally, we would have done a report on Richie Beno. Two for 222. It's not a good Beno, is it? Damn it. I just assumed I could do it. It feels like the easiest, the most impersonatable person there is, but...
But you fucked it somehow.
For 22.
Oh, it's worse. Getting worse.
Dave, can you do it?
It's two for 222.
It's not better. I'm not doing it. I can't do it.
Chew for 22.
Stop it. Why are you saying chew? Stop. Isn't that... I hate it.
Everyone knows Richie Beno. All right.
We need to do
commentator.
Now quickly do your Bill Laurie impression and...
Oh, fuck off. He's gone now. Fuck off. He's a great Victorian. That's the 12th man's
and,
Bill Laurie.
All right, let me just... what if he saw someone wearing something on their legs that they might wear, like trousers, and the brand's not Adidas but is similar.
Oh, check out my Puma pants.
There it is. There it is. I want to say it.
Puma pants, very good stuff. No, Tony Gregg's. Let's do fragments of the 12th Man albums. Another one I always get runs through my head is Tony Gregg. Someone talks about it holding a grudge, and Tony Gregg's like, grudge. To me, a grudge is just a place you park your car.
That is funny.
That's funny stuff.
That is funny.
Okay, so it's time for Fact Quarter Question. This is where a Patreon supporter on the anyone can do this if you support us at patreon.com/dogoon on the Sydney Schoenberg Deluxe Memorial Package level, VIP, RIP, and you can give us a fact or quote or question. You also get to give us a title for yourself. This week we have got, with the title of Gamey Gamekeeper, it's Gary J from the UK.
Gary J!
I'm Gary J from the UK. We saw him again not too long ago, December. And he's given us a fact. Thank you so much, Gary. And the fact is, he also came to my stand-up show in London. What a guy, Gary. One of my favourites. He says, ducks' penises grow and shrink with the seasons.
Four seasons.
And then
condoms.
And he said in brackets.
All right.
High five me, Dave.
Okay. You asked for
reluctantly
it.
High five me.
All right.
All right.
He said in brackets, I'm trying to keep my fact short and sweet, just like Dave.
Well, only because it's winter.
It gets sweeter in the winter. Oh, thank
what
you
is
so
it
much,
in the
Gary.
Summer?
Long and sour.
Long and
spring?
Tart.
Yeah. Spring?
Salty.
Salty. I've got to keep going salty.
Salty and white and salty.
White and salty. Like a, I don't know.
And obviously in the autumn it's narrow.
Woody.
And woody. Ah, oaky.
Oh, it's nutty and woody.
On the back palate. thank you so much, Gary J. And... giving himself the title of Professor of Crastination, it's Drew Forsberg.
Drew.
And he's offered a quote.
Love a quote.
This is rare, which but I appreciate him.
And the quote is, full cotch.
Oh, boy. It's off to a good start.
Is it in English?
So I have to get a quick translator in. Uh-huh. Google Translate. Okay. Yes, okay, sure. Full court shot from Thorias. He's really showing us what a man with a cannon in his chest can do. That's Marv Albert from Futurama. Great quote.
Well, that's something for everyone there.
I like full court personally. Makes me think of a food court.
Oh, I love a food court.
Snacks.
So many options.
Yeah.
You can all get different foods.
You're not Futurama fans?
Yeah, I
cannot place that quote, can you?
I'm putting it together in my mind. They're watching a basketball game. There's a man with a cannon in his chest. maybe like a future version of the Harlem Globetrotters or something.
You're jumping to a lot of conclusions.
I'm
and I respect that.
Thank you so much. But I've seen every episode a couple times. I've been thinking about I want to go back and watch it all again because I'm losing memory. Which has been fun because I've watched a few things recently as if it was for the first time. I saw a movie recently, I don't remember any of it. It was great fun.
What was it?
Funnily enough, cannot remember. It was not long ago.
But you enjoyed it?
I remember last week thinking, I don't recall any of this. I'm going along with the twists and turns here. What was it? No, what was it? I can't remember.
Total Recall?
Fuck. Oh, no, it was...
That's so good.
You can't remember shit.
He didn't get it, but that was good.
It was Midnight Run.
Oh, yeah.
Which was recommended on Twitter or somewhere by Tony Martin. He said it's the movie that he would recommend to anyone. If you didn't know anything about your taste, he'd recommend Midnight Run. And it's great. I bought it on DVD and then I watched it over the break. And I'm like...
You went and bought a DVD based on Tony Martin's recommendation on Twitter. That's lovely. I'm kidding. That's fucking lame. Midnight?
It would have been at a Blockbuster closing down thing where it was like an expense or something, but... it's a good, it's a real good movie. That would also, I would recommend it in the same way. I think it's a lot of good fun. One of the characters, sort of like a buddy thing, like a copish guy played by De Niro is taking over a guy. He's taking a crim across town, across the country, and he can't get there on the plane. Or there's twists and stuff. I don't know, no spoilers.
Don't ruin it.
They have to get across for him to collect his bounty.
Right.
And I can't remember the guy, the criminal guy is played by I think he was the dad from the Beethoven movies.
Okay.
But I reckon if they did a modern retake, I'd cast that same role because similar sort of performance as Broden Kelly in his role.
Okay.
I can just picture him in it so well. It'd be so good. I'd probably just get De Niro to stay as De Niro.
So De Niro and Kelly.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that combo.
Modern Midnight Run. Real good movie. Check it out. All right. The other thing we like to do is thank a few other listeners.
Yes.
Should I kick it off? What kind of game are you going to do this week?
So I can't.
Maybe a Friends of Rom type song title?
Yeah.
Or
a band name or... Yeah, so we can do a song title.
Or what pet would you name them after?
Dave, what do you reckon?
How about, is there a way you can get up all their song titles?
Yes, I've got them all up here.
And then we could just assign one at random to each person.
Great.
And that song is dedicated to them.
I love that.
Beautiful.
Look it up, listen to it, enjoy it, do yourself a favor.
Apologies if it's rude.
I don't apologize.
Language warning. Whoops, we're 90 minutes in.
My favorite language warning on Triple J goes like this. It sounds like Kate McLennan, actually. It might be. And it just says, this next song's got a little bit of cussing in it.
Cussing.
I like it a lot. I always pick that one.
Well, this Patreon section has a little bit of cussing in it as well.
Well, let me kick it off if you want. From Wakefield in West Yorkshire, Catherine Groom.
Catherine Groom.
I like that name.
Am I picking this song?
Yeah, at random.
All right, I'll pick it at random.
Random.
You're not doing well today.
You're so random.
I'll pick them at random. Bucket Bong.
That's great.
Well done. That's a good song. That's a bit of a hit for them as well. So that's a great choice there. Catherine Groom, which you gave to me with your vibes.
Imagine you rocking out to that in West Yorkshire.
She only wants me for my bucket bong is sort of the refrain of the song. Thank you so much for all your support, Catherine Groom. What a goddamn legend. I would also love to thank from Clinton in CT. Would that be Connecticut, Dave?
Connecticut.
I'd love to thank Matthew Borkowski.
Matthew Borkowski.
And all right, are you going random? You got one?
Oh, no.
All right, I'll just scroll down at random here. That's just not legal.
That's just not legal.
With that's in brackets for some reason. I love a random bracket in there.
That's great. There you go, Matthew.
You're only two off genitals are funny. So close.
They're so funny.
They are so funny.
What could have been? Can I thank some people too?
Oh, that'd be so good if you could.
I would love to thank from Sandy Springs in GA. What's GA?
Georgia.
Georgia. I would like
General
to thank.
General admission.
Chris Galanek.
Oh, I've got one this time.
Yep.
From Cuffing Up a Storm. Your song is Cones.
Cones. That song's about smoking cones.
Ah, a bit more literal, that one.
It's sort of a love song.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. So there you go, Chris. Enjoy that. And I'd also like to thank, from Milton Keys in Great Britain, I would love to thank Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
I imagine it would be Ben, who we've met multiple times.
Yeah, it's Ben.
In Thailand and in England.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Milton Keynes. I can hear it in his voice right now.
Hello, I'm from Milton Keynes.
And what song would be dedicated to Ben?
All right, going on the scroll again. When will I see you at the ICU?
Oh.
Which is
a love song.
Yeah, well, another love song about getting injured.
Oh, right.
Which is probably appropriate for this band as well. When will I see you at the ICU again? ICU being the intensive care
unit.
Thank you. I think I got the tricky ones there.
Thank you to Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Do you want to bring it home?
All right. Thank you so much, Ben. I would now like to thank from Dagenham.
Ooh.
Love that name. In Essex. I'd like to thank Carol Duval.
Carol Duval.
Please, Carol Duval.
Carol Duval. I love that. And your song is, if I can scroll now, Don't Touch the Rabbit.
That's good advice.
Great advice.
Any situation.
You don't know what kind of
that's good advice,
diseases it may have.
Carol Duval, I mean, if we're fortune tellers and you see a rabbit, don't touch it because bad things could happen.
Don't touch the rabbit. Thank you so much, Carol. Great name as well, Carol Duval. Mm.
Dagenham, love that. And I would also like to thank now from Newtown, New South Wales, where this band was formed.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
It's your hometown band, Christopher.
Christopher Beaumont. It's Christopher Beaumont.
Yay.
Whoa. Spoiler alert. You said it half
like
a second too early.
Yeah.
Every other person in Newtown just went, no, not me. It's Christopher Beaumont.
Sorry, I was looking over your shoulder there. Spoilers. Got excited. Scrolling.
Final scroll.
Be still my beating off.
Oh, I remember that song.
I don't think I would have got that at the time. Instead of Billy Still My Beating Heart. That's very funny.
Very funny.
Isn't it funny that I loved this album and I just would not have got that joke?
Now you're just reading it out going,
yeah.
That's good stuff.
So thank you, Christopher. Enjoy that.
Soundtrack to your life and your place of residence.
Yeah.
Place of home.
Place of home.
Thank you so much for everyone supporting us on Patreon. Those who have supported us for 3 years plus on the $5 plus section get to also be entered into the most prestigious of places.
My goodness.
Not the porcelain prison, but the Triptych Club and this week I'd love to enter into the club from Victoria, Matthew Webb, who we know and love all these people. From Victoria again, from Melbourne as well, from Hyatt. Matthew Flanagan, good friend of mine. Matt Flanagan, what a great friend. Played golf with him over the break.
Did you?
Yep.
That's nice.
Real bad. I'm not good at golf.
So did Matt win.
But you sometimes win tournaments?
Yeah, occasionally. Well, you know, like matey tournaments.
But you beat your mates. I'm so very, they're just really bad.
Matey ones.
Mate, you know, just a few mates.
Just matey ones.
A couple of true blue tournaments.
Diggy die sort of tournaments. You have a little swing with
the Ridge Cup.
But I mean, because I play once or twice a year, it's a real roll of the dice how it is. Occasionally I have a good day. And then this day, I made golf look hard. This is my first shot. It went as far sideways as it did forwards. It's sort of like the kind of shot where you're like, how's that possible? How, like, you can't do that on purpose. That is
technically a trick shot.
Yeah. It is. Tiger Woods couldn't do it if he wanted to, but I did it. I made it look easy and made golf look very hard. So, yeah, Matt Flanagan's in there. And well, that's all the... No, hang on. And also from Seattle, Washington, Alex Wu. And finally, I'm just trying to do the maths to see. And finally, from Shepparton in Country Victoria, Shep Life, Jonty O'Neill.
Thanks, you legends.
Thank you to all you legends. So cool to have you in the Triptych Club. I hope you're wearing something nice because it's a classy it's a classy little nook.
It's a business cash minimum.
It is. And that's why Dave is typing all these names in golden font on our page on our website at some point. You've just got to learn JavaScript or something, don't you?
Yeah, I've got to learn to type.
Typing? What do you mean you've got to learn to type? Your excuses are getting weirder. We know you can type, Dave.
I've seen you do it.
No, you haven't. Think about it, have you?
Yes.
You haven't.
Yes, Dave.
Come on.
I have video footage of you typing.
Prove it.
I have video footage.
Yeah, well, prove that you've got it.
Okay, I'll get it now.
Can I see proof of that video? Yeah. What, the video? No, I want proof that video exists.
Dave, you've lost your mind.
Remember, the glove don't fit.
Yes, go on.
He's lost his mind.
Yeah, can't remember the rest.
All right. Well.
Something catchy.
Wrap it up, Dave.
Wrap it up. That is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another episode to tantalize your ears.
Oh.
I'm tantalized already.
Ooh.
Can't wait. Ooh. It's a Dave report next week.
That's right. It's a fun one, I reckon. It's a topic that's been voted for already, so...
Great.
Fate has already chosen what I'll be talking about, and I think it'll be a good report. So hang out for that. We'll be back next week. Get our tickets. Those tickets to the Melbourne Comedy Festival will be awesome. But until next time, we'll say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean... If you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.